the Shabbos. We don't have a parsha, but it is Rosh Hashanah. So we will focus on Rosh Hashanah. Many different things we need to understand. The main thing I'd like to focus on is that we know that Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin, the day of judgment. Now, what it would seem appropriate that since it's the day of judgment, that on Rosh Hashanah we should be falling on our faces and asking Hashem to forgive us for all of our errors. So that we should be judged favorably. Meanwhile, if you look throughout the davening of Rosh Hashanah, you will not find even one time that we ask Hashem for forgiveness. It's not mentioned in the entire davening of Rosh Hashanah. If you look through the davening, the common thread through the davening of Rosh Hashanah is asking Hashem to reveal His malchus in the world. Spoke about this on Shabbos, but we need to understand why is there no focus or emphasis whatsoever on Rosh Hashanah regarding forgiveness of our sins. The halacha is that there are many additions that we add to the Shemoneh Esrei in the Asaret Yemei Tshuva, Rosh Hashanah. One is that instead of Hakel HaKadosh, we say HaMelech HaKadosh. Instead of the Holy God, we say the Holy King. If someone by mistake would say what he's used to saying all year round, Hakel HaKadosh, the halacha is that he has to repeat Shema Esrei. There are other additions, though, that we add, which is such as Zochrein Elachayim, we ask Hashem to remember us to life. And four times, we ask more or less for the same thing, that Hashem should write us into the Book of Life. If anybody forgot that on Rosh Hashanah or on the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, they are not obligated to repeat the Davening. And we need to understand what is the difference between Hakel HaKadosh, where if you say Hakel HaKadosh instead of HaMelech HaKadosh, you have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei. And why is it by all the other ones, Zochrein Elachayim, Yichamayich Avarachman, Chsoy Lachayim Tov, V'Seif Lachayim, all of those, which are asking Hashem to write us into the Book of Life, if somebody forgets that, why is one not obligated to repeat the davening? Now the simple reason is that the changing from Hakel HaKadosh to HaMelech HaKadosh is something that dates back to the days of the Gemara. Whereas the other additions were added on later on by the Goyim. So that is the simple reason why something that is from the times of the Gemara was part and parcel of Shemoneh Esrei. If you missed that, you didn't doubt in proper Shemoneh Esrei. Whereas the other ones has a din of a minute. But I believe there's something a lot deeper than that here. Pasuk says, Tiku b'chodesh shofar, blow shofar on the Chodesh, on the first day of the month, which is Rosh Hashanah, when the day of our holiday is covered up, and we'll soon see what that means, because it is a decree for Yisrael, Mishpat Elokei Yaakov, a law for the God of Yaakov. Now this pasuk really doesn't make any sense. What is the pasuk saying here? What does it mean that the day of our holiday is covered up? It's a decree for Yisrael. It's a law for the God of Yaakov. What does it mean? By the repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei on Rosh Hashanah, we say the following: Be'ein Melitz Yosher Mul Magid Pesha. If there is no defender to counter the prosecutor, Tagid Li Yaakov, tell Yaakov, Devar Choyku Mishpat, the word of the decree and the law. Betzadkenu b'mishpat, and judge us favorably in this judgment. Hamelach ha'mishpat, the king of judgment. Once again, we're talking about, it seems over here, that there is no defense against the prosecutor, meaning we have no merit. And we're asking Hashem, or the tefillah is, tell Yaakov the word of Chayke Mishpat, the word of the law and the decree. What in the world does that mean? And then, we ask Hashem to judge us favorably. Judge us. If you want to judge us, then there's got to be some merit. And we're talking about a case where there is no merit. So how do we expect the Melech HaMishpat? We're asking the God of judgment to judge us favorably. How can a God of judgment judge us favorably when we have no merit? There are many other difficulties that I won't go into right now. If we have time, I will explain how they are understood according to the approach I will suggest. There was a king that ruled over many, many countries. Very powerful, mighty king. Yet, a very compassionate, loving king, a king who loved all of his subjects. As a result, all the subjects of his kingdom stood in awe of his might and power, yet loved their king for his compassion and loving kindness. This king had a one and only child, whom he loved and cared for like the apple of his eye. Obviously, this child had whatever he needed, desired, wanted. In the palace of the king, there was nothing that was withheld from this child. One day, the king summons his child and he says to the child, listen here, my kingdom is very great and there are faraway lands in my kingdom that the people there do not even know, barely know that I exist. They don't know that I exist. They don't know of my might and power. They don't know of my care and loving kindness. I want you, my son, to travel out to those far away, to those distant lands, being the fact that you are the prince, being the fact that you resemble the king. Your presence there will make the people aware that their king is king. It will make them aware of my might and power. You will teach them of my love and kindness so that they will fear and love me. Listen here, my son. I am going to give you royal garments. When you are to walk out into the streets of these distant countries, you are to wear these royal garments. By wearing the royal garments, people will realize who you are, what you're all about. Through you, they will become aware of my kingdom. But beware, my son, be cautious. These royal garments are very fine, made out of very fine material. If they are stained, if they are soiled, they cannot be cleansed anywhere besides in the royal palace. My servants are the only ones that know how to cleanse a garment as fine as this. Do not attempt to cleanse it elsewhere. Let me tell you, my son, how to be careful that this garment does not become stained or soiled. There are 365 different ways that you can stain that garment. These are the places you have to beware, you have to be careful not to go to. The filth that permeates these places will definitely soil your garment. And here are 248 different ways to maintain your garment, to make sure that it stays strong, that it stays clean. If you only will observe the things that I tell you to watch out for, the things that I tell you to do, your garment will remain clean. My son, although you're always welcome into the palace, you are my only child. You are welcome to fulfill all of your desires that are available to you in the palace. Nevertheless, you may not enter the palace with a soiled garment. One cannot enter the palace of the king with clothing that is not befitting. So, if you are to soil your garment, you will have to stand at the gates of the palace and ask the servants to cleanse your garment. Prince went out to these distant lands, these distant countries, where his father sent him, wearing his royal garments. The people of these distant and faraway countries became aware that there is a king. A king that is mighty and powerful, a king that is loving and caring. The son, the prince, was very careful not to stain his garments. Very careful to heed all the commands of the garment, to make sure that he maintained the garment, to strengthen the garment, and made sure not to go to those places that threaten the cleanliness of his garment. And although his heart was drawn, his curiosity was piqued to check out what these things are all about that his father told him can soil his garment. Nevertheless, the command of his father overpowered that urge, and he maintained the cleanliness of his garment. One day, the curiosity and the desire of the prince overcame him. And he did something that the king told him not to do. He did something that the king warned him would soil his garment. And lo and behold, as soon as he finished doing what he did, the prince looked down at his garment, and his garment had a big stain on it. The prince felt terrible. The prince regretted that he had transgressed the will of his father. The prince was ashamed to walk out into the streets of this land, because everyone would realize that indeed he had transgressed the will of the mighty and powerful king. That same king that he had made them all aware of. So the prince, makes his way back to the palace gates, knowing that he cannot enter the palace gates with a soiled garment. He knocks on the palace gates, and the servant of the king comes to the gates. "How may I help you?" The prince falls to the ground and starts crying, "Please go to my father, the kind and compassionate king. Tell him that I wasn't able to overcome my desire. Tell him that my garment is soiled. Ask my father to have my garments cleansed, because I cannot bear being distanced from my father's home. Because the palace is the place where I've always gone to for whenever I needed anything. My parnasa, my food, my drink, my health, everything came from the palace. Without the palace, I can't live. Ask the king to please cleanse my garment so I can benefit from all of the wonderful things that the palace has to offer." When the king hears that the request of his child, the king says, "Okay, let's hear what he did. Let us judge if he indeed is worthy that I should cleanse his garments. Is he indeed worthy of benefiting from all the things that the palace has to offer?" If the child has sech, is an intellectual child, then he would have asked the servant of the king a different request. The request would have been the following: "I feel terrible for having transgressed the will of the king. Because I transgressed the will of the king, there is a stain on my garments. Every time I walk out into public, instead of sanctifying the name of the king, I desecrate the name of the king. Because everyone sees that I, the prince, have transgressed the will of the king. What is expected of everyone else if I, the prince, can't withstand the desire to transgress the will of the king? Father, I cannot bear your name being desecrated. Please cleanse the garment for the sake of your name. If the king hears that, there is no judgment. What the child did makes no difference. He's not asking for anything for himself. All he's asking for is that the king cleanse the garment for his own sake. There is, the child has one more option. Instead of going to the palace gates and knocking on the gates and speaking to the servants, he has the option of waiting for the day of the inauguration of the kingdom. The day the kingdom was inaugurated, every single year, and then on the anniversary of the inauguration, the king opens the palace gates, and all of the subjects of his majesty walk through to the king and have the right to request of the king their heart's desire. No difference what you're wearing. No difference what anybody looks like. On the day of the anniversary of the inauguration, all the subjects of the king pass before him. So on that day, the child, the prince, walks through, and when he stands in front of his father, he falls to his father's feet and says, "My father, the king." One of the two ways. Either he asks, "Please cleanse my garment because I miss being in the palace and I need the palace because all of my needs are taken care of in the palace." Or he says, "My father the king, please cleanse my garment because every time I walk out in public, your name is desecrated because my garment is soiled. Please, for the sake of your own majesty, for the sake of your own kingdom, for the sake of your own name, cleanse my garment." The moral of this mashal is pretty obvious. The Ribbono Shel Olam, the king of the Melech Malchei Hamelachim, the king of all kings, is well known in all of the upper worlds. But there's a very far away, distant world called Olam Hazeh, this lowly world, where the subjects of this world do not recognize who the king is. And the Rabbeinu Shel Olam called upon B'ni B'chori Yisrael, my child, B'nei Yisrael, and sent us into this world to reveal his kingdom in this world. To make people aware of his kingdom so that people should fear and love him. And the Rabbi Yisrael gave us a neshama, the garment of the king himself, which is made out of the finest material. And the Ribbono Shel Olam, the King of all kings, warned us. Here is a Torah. These are the things that will maintain the sanctity of your neshama, and these are the things that will soil and stain your neshama. But it is only in my palace that your neshama can be cleansed. So throughout the year, we have the right to knock on the gates of the palace, as we say by Slichas. Kedalim uchurashim defaknu lasecha. Like paupers, we knock on your doors. We can't enter because we have soiled garments. And we have the ability to ask Hashem in one of those two ways, either Rabbeinu Shalom, our garments are soiled, our neshama is soiled, cleanse our neshamas, because we cannot benefit from all the good you have to offer. Our parnosa is compromised because we have soiled our neshamas. That we don't have nachas from our children, we don't have shalom bayis, because our neshamas are soiled. Cleanse our neshamas so I can benefit from all the good of your palace. Well, you're doing it all for your sake. Okay, let's see what you did. Let's see if you're worthy of benefiting from all of the great things the palace has to offer. But if we beseech the Rabbi Shlomo, and we say to the Rabbi Shlomo, the mancha, say, do so for your own sake. As long as our neshamas are soiled, Hashem's kingdom is concealed in the world. If our neshamas would be cleansed, everyone would see, and the pasuk says, all of the nations of the world would be able to realize that the name of Hashem is called upon us. There would be no mistake. Everyone would realize through Klal Yisrael that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam, there is a Creator. We would fulfill our purpose on this world. But as long as our neshamas are soiled, Ribbono Shel Olam, your name is desecrated. Please cleanse our neshamas for your own sake. We have the chance to do that throughout the year. But there's one day, the day of Rosh Hashanah, the day of the anniversary of the inauguration of the kingdom, that each and every one of us walks through, Kivnei Marayim, we all pass through the Ribbono Shel Olam, we have the ability to fall to the feet of the Ribbono Shel Olam and ask our request in one of those two ways. If we ask the Ribbono Shel Olam for his own sake, and we mean it for the Ribbono Shel Olam's own sake, and not for our sake, we save ourselves judgment. Because if we're asking for his sake, what's the point in judgment? It's not us. It's not for our sake. It's for his sake. The purpose of Rosh Hashanah is, throughout all the tefillahs, all we talk about is Malchus Shemayim. All we ask for is that Hashem's kingdom should be revealed in the world. That's all we care about. We don't care about our avers. We're asking Hashem to cleanse our neshamas so that His Malchus, His kingdom, should be revealed in the world. And that's why you won't find in any of the tefillahs that we're asking Hashem for forgiveness, or asking Hashem for any of our needs. If somebody forgets to say the Holy King, which that is the whole purpose of Rosh Hashanah, you got to repeat davening. You missed the boat. If you forget to ask all the things you're asking for yourself, remember us to life, write us in the book of life, that's irrelevant. That's secondary. If you forget that by Shemoneh Esrei, you don't have to repeat it. we blow a shofar. It doesn't say in the Torah a word. There's no word mentioned about a shofar in the Torah. All it says is to blow. The word shofar is not mentioned in the Torah. But we blow a shofar. On the fast days that the rabbinical court can decree in all generations for any type of Eitz Tzara, a time of trouble, such as a drought or war, whatever it might be. If a fast day is declared, then what is blown is trumpets. Not a shofar, rather trumpets. Why is it that on Rosh Hashanah we blow a shofar, and on fast days that are decreed when our physical necessities are in jeopardy, then we blow the trumpets? The reason is because the shofar is heaven-made. The trumpets are man-made. When we're asking for the sake of heaven, we use a shofar. That's heaven-made. When we're asking for the sake of man, we use the trumpets, which are man-made. And I believe that this is what the pasuk is saying. With one more introduction, we know that a chayk, the difference between a chayk and a mishpat, a chayk is a decree, mishpat is a law. Chayk, a decree, means something that it is a decree without us understanding the reason. A law is a law that is understood. It's a logical law. Says the pasuk. Tiku b'chodesh shofar. On Rosh Hashanah, blow a shofar. Don't blow a trumpet. Why? B'kesel le'yom chagenu. Because the fact that this is a day that it is our holiday, that this is a day that we are going to be forgiven for our sins, that our neshama is going to be cleansed, and therefore we will be able to benefit from all the wonderful things the palace has to offer. That's covered up. The fact that it is our holiday, that's covered up. And the pasuk continues to explain. For Yisrael, this day is a decree. There's nothing in it for us. It's all about the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's all about His kingdom being revealed in the world. Mishpat, it's a mishpat, meaning it's a logical decree, the Ke Yaakov, for the God of Yaakov. For Him, it is a logical yantif. It's all about the Rabbeinu Shalom. For us, it's a chayk. For us, it's a decree. There's nothing in it for us. It is all in it for the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's pshat in the pasuk. Now, we understand what we say by the tefillahs of Shemoneh Esrei, by the repetition of Shemoneh Esrei. Be'ein me'litz yoshem mul magid pesha. If there is no defense against the prosecutor, we have no merit. If Hashem were to judge us, we're in trouble. Be'ein me'litz yoshem mul magid pesha. There is no defense against the prosecution. Tagid li'yakov. What do you have to do then? You have to speak to Bnei Yisrael. Tell them, devar chayku mishpat. Tell them about the law and the decree. Tell them that all of their prayers should be for the sake of the Rabbeinu Shalom, not for their own sake. And then, b'tzad kenu b'mishpat, ha-melech ha-mishpat. And then the Rabbeinu Shalom will be able to judge us favorably. Because we don't have to be judged at all. We're not asking for our sake. We're asking for our neshamas to be cleansed for the sake of the Rabbeinu Shalom. We talked about that the Dorsha Rishumas say that Elul is the acronym of Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li. I am for my beloved is for me. Meaning, that describes what this is all about. Ani ledoidi, all I care about is my beloved. It's not for me. And if that is the case, ledoidi li, if that's the case, my beloved will take care of me. Whether I'm worthy, whether I'm not worthy. Because I'm totally in it for him. Now we understand the pasuk that we begin the haftarah of Shabbat Shuva. Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem. Return Yisrael until Hashem Alekecha. Until Hashem your God. What is until? I say Shuva Yisrael el Hashem Alekecha. Return Yisrael to Hashem your God. What is until Hashem your God? The pasuk is telling us, do tshuva not for your own sake. Don't ask Hashem to cleanse your neshama for your own sake, so you should be able to benefit from all the wonderful things Hashem has offered. Do tshuva until where you're doing tshuva for the sake of Hashem Alekach. That's what our tshuva has to be for. According to this, we can understand, we've spoken about in Parshas Shoftim, when B'nai Yisrael go out to war, it says that the Shoftim, actually the Kohen HaMashiach, got up and he announced, and he said, Shema Yisrael, listen B'nai Yisrael, you're coming to war, don't be afraid. Hashem is watching, Hashem is with you, nothing will happen to you. And Rashi there says, on the word Shema Yisrael, even if the only merit you have is Shema Yisrael, you have nothing to worry about. Even if that's the only merit you have is the fact that you say Shema Yisrael twice a day, that's good enough, and you are worthy enough for Hashem to help you, for Hashem to be with you. A couple of psukim later, the Shoitrim get up, and they say, "Mi ha'isha yonei v'rachalevav," someone who is afraid. And Rashi says, he brings it from Chazal, whoever is afraid of an avera, yonei sh'avera sh'biyadei, someone who is afraid of their averas. Yedav v'yashu l'vetzei, should go home. Don't come to war. What's going on here? A minute ago, he said that Shema Yisrael itself is enough. Meaning, if I have no other mitzvah besides Shema Yisrael, I'm worthy enough to go to war. Nothing will happen to me. And then he says, if somebody's afraid of their averis, and the Gemara says, even someone who talked between Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh, that's his only avera, shouldn't go to war. I believe that what he's saying, what's going on here is, as we just said, there are two different concerns. When a person sees themselves as a sinner, I have sinned, I have soiled my neshama. What bothers you? Does it bother you that you have averis, and that you're afraid that you're going to burn in hell? Is that what bothers you? Is that what you're afraid of? Is that what your Rosh Hashanah is all about? You're very selfish. All you're thinking about is yourself. But that's our focus on Rosh Hashanah is not that. Our focus on Rosh Hashanah is Rabbi Shalom, as long as my neshama is soiled, Your malchus, your majesty is concealed in the world. My presence in the world is a desecration of your name. As long as the Avera exists in the world, there is a Tumah in the world. The Kohen says, if your intention is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, if your motive of going out to war is to sanctify Hashem's name for the sake of Hashem's unity, you have nothing to worry about. No matter what averes you have done in the past, it's irrelevant. You're going for Hashem's honor, Hashem will take care of you. But hayorem averes shebiyodai, if you're afraid of the averes that are in your hand, you're consumed with yourself. You're consumed that you have averes. Don't go to war. Don't go to war. It's uncertain that you will end up being judged favorably. In the Dovah Hashem Oiri that we say every day twice in Chodesh Elul, we say very interesting words. David HaMelech says, "Im tachna olay machne lo yira libi." If a camp camps against me, my heart will not fear. "Im tachna olay machne," if a war stands up against me, "bezois ani b'teach," in this I trust. He doesn't say in what he trusts. What is David HaMelech saying? David HaMelech is saying the following. "Im tachna olay machne," if a camp gets up against me, "lo yira libi," my heart is not afraid at all. Because I don't fear my averes. If I would fear my averes, that would mean that it's all about me. We're not supposed to fear our averes. We have to be concerned that our averes conceal Malchus Shemayim. It's nothing. If there is fear involved, we're supposed to fear the Rebbeinu Shleilu. We're supposed to stand in awe of the Rebbeinu Shleilu. But I fear my Averis, that means that you're concerned about yourself. If a camp gets up against me, lug your libi. My heart is not worried. I'm not afraid. And that's why, if a war comes against me, I trust in that itself. I trust in the fact that I am not afraid of my averes, and my whole reason of doing tshuva just for the sake of the Rebbeinu Shleilam, I know the Rebbeinu Shleilam will take care of me. Because there's nothing in it for me. It's all about the Rebbeinu Shleilam. So as we approach the Yontif of Rosh Hashanah, we have to know what Rosh Hashanah is all about. Rosh Hashanah is not about us. As really, the least it has to do with us, the more productive Rosh Hashanah will be. Because the more we're thinking about ourselves and how we stand in judgment and that our lives are at stake, it's really a selfish exercise. Rosh Hashanah is all about Malchus Shemayim. Us vis-a-vis Malchus Shemayim. How do we play into the kingdom of heaven? My averes are concealing the kingdom of heaven. That is what bothers me. Rebbeinu Shleilam, cleanse my soul so that Malchus Shemayim will be revealed in the world. That's what all the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah are all about. May we be zoche in the schus of sincerely being concerned about Hashem's Malchus, which is our sole purpose in the world, is to reveal Hashem's Malchus. And that will be our intention this Rosh Hashanah. we will all be judged favorably. The Rebbeinu Shleilam will write us all to Aksiva Bachsima Toive, Eshnas Geula Yeshua, and we will be Zoiche to see the time when Hashem will reveal His Malchus in the world through His nation Yisrael. May we be Zoiche to that time. B'Vias Mashiach Tzidkenu B'Meheru B'Yameinu Amen.
Amen.